The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is the Peter Boyles Show.
It is. We are, and good morning, everyone. It is 8 a.m. on a Wednesday, and the weather's going to go downhill here. 710 KNUS, the voice of the people, Radio Free Denver, 73 the high today, and then it starts down, 62 is all we get tomorrow. By the time we get to Sunday, it's going to be 20 degrees the low, 30 degrees the high, and snow, and then 14 degrees on Monday night. 303-696-1971 coming up in the hour. Mike Roberts from Westward on this weird JonBenet story. JonBenet Ramsey stories never go away. And this is about the Globe, the tabloid, the Globe, and what they've done. So we have been talking, and it's got to kind of heated off and on this morning, especially when it came to Joe Biden and his son Hunter and the accusations and whether or not that's his computer. And that's been good stuff. And a lot of conversation, very good conversation, about the murder that took place, the 49-year-old Lee Keltner fatally shot following that muster last Saturday in downtown Denver and blocks from the state capitol and the art museum, and we're over it. And talking about the role 9 plays in it, what role the Pinkertons play or don't play, and then this subcontractor, and then the city of Denver, and then last night on the Kyle Clark Show, they bring up Mitch Morrissey, which I think is interesting as well. Let me do this, and we'll get Jimmy up here. If you're looking for a great selection of glasses, you got to see our friends Alan Stack at Stack Optical. Huh. Alan Stack has been a local business here. His dad started it for over 50 years. They continue to offer great personalized service and extraordinary care. What they've done now is so cool. They only do it by appointment. And again, people, you know, round hands around your eyes and everything. COVID. I get it. And he gets it. So they're 2233 South Monaco Parkway. It's South Monaco and Evans. And they only do it by appointment. So you call a man up, and my ski glasses, motorcycle glasses, prescriptions, sunners, everything, we name. I've been representing Alan for years. And he was an NSCD kid, National Sports Center in Winter Park. And they have the eye exams, and they have these really exclusive appointments. Only you and your significant others coming in. And Alan Stack, StackOptical.com, that's the website. You can just call him at 303-321-1578. 303-321-1578, 303-321-1578. And visit them online at Stack Optical, 6 days a week. You set the appointment. You call them up and say, I'd like to have, I don't know, Friday at 11 o'clock. Okay, sign you up. Appointment only. They're easy to find. These guys are our friends. 2233 South Monaco Parkway near South Monaco and Evans. Let's see what happens here. Billy, we close? We don't know. We're standing by for Jimmy. And maybe we could play that piece again from Channel 9 last night. I personally believe that what Kyle Clark is doing now and what Channel 9 is doing now, and you have to listen carefully. They're beginning to set up the self-defense, which can be the tag out. And, in fact, I have a picture of Kyle Clark here off the Internet with a headline over his head, criminal case against unlicensed security guard could come down to self-defense argument. Now, listen carefully. They've been doing this. They've been playing out this, the guy who was involved, Jeremiah Elliott, and playing all the different things. They had the man on, and they laid down for him and promoted him, and it was just horrible. Why are they doing this? And they bring in these people from out of town, which is equally as ridiculous. But then they trot out Mitch, and again, this is interesting, Mitch Morrissey, the former district attorney, and he's explaining what self-defense really is. And they also continue this MacGuffin, as Hitchcock called it. And a MacGuffin is what? A MacGuffin is something, well, you see it, but you don't see it. It's just there. That there's the second gun, that the cops found the second gun. But let me tell you, folks, everybody that's involved in this story or involved in this investigation knows the second gun belonged to Lee Keltner. Without further ado, here we go. And they just happen to find Mitch on the street. This is they just happen to find Stanley Garnett. Here's Channel 9.
The criminal case against the unlicensed security guard who shot and killed a man could come down to murder or self-defense. Matthew Dolliff is that guard, now defendant. He was hired by the company Pinkerton, contracted to provide security for nine news journalists covering the rival protests in Denver recently when that shooting occurred. Dolliff's first court appearance is tomorrow. We're turning to some journalists from outside our newsroom to cover this story. The question of self-defense or murder gets a closer look now from Casey Nolan from our sister station in St. Louis.
What happened in the instant after this photo, we know. 49-year-old Lee Keltner died from a single gunshot. But it's what happened in the seconds before that could determine Matthew Dolliff's fate. The Denver district attorney charged the 30-year-old with murder in the second degree. But an attorney for the Dolliff family told 9 News in a statement Matt was acting in self-defense. Matt put his life and now his liberty between the now deceased and the 9 News employee. This was not a political assignment for Matt. This was simply Matt protecting your employee.
It's easy to claim self-defense, obviously, if you're just defending yourself in a fistfight or something. It's much harder to claim it when you kill somebody.
Mitch Morrissey spent more than 3 decades in the prosecutor's office and served 12 years as Denver's district attorney. He says to claim self-defense when deadly force is used, the defendant must have been confronted by deadly force.
And you just get slapped or even common bear mace, probably not going to kill you, probably not going to cause serious bodily injury.
Denver police say 2 guns were recovered from the scene where Lee Keltner was killed. They say one belonged to Matthew Dolliff, but neither police nor prosecutors will say who had the second gun. Morrissey says if a second gun was involved, it may change the case.
The individual that is using self-defense would have to know about the gun, would have to have seen the gun.
Morrissey says another Colorado law could be a factor, what's known as heat of passion.
And that's where somebody, there was a highly provoking act that causes you to kill someone. That's an even lesser offense than second-degree murder. So is being slapped a highly provoking act? Is having mace pointed at you after being slapped a highly provoking act? These are questions that a jury has to decide.
Provided, of course, the case reaches a jury. Matthew Dolliff, at last check, has not been able to make bail and remains behind bars. Reporting in Denver, I'm Casey Nolan.
Okay, now, we just got an off-air phone call. We can't give a source. Billy, you want to jump into this for a second, and we'll go to Jimmy.
Yeah, no.
We know this is a guy with a shield. How's that?
Yeah, that's an easy way to do it.
Right,
and,
right.
And he said that there's some logical problems with the case that Channel 9 is putting forward, and he's absolutely 110% correct. And he said here's the easiest way to examine it. Take Matthew Dolliff and instead put him into a police uniform and let him react the same way, and then how will it be perceived? And he's like, wait a minute. He goes, as someone that walks around and wears a shield, if someone comes up and grabs at me or slaps me or points mace at me, I'm now okay to discharge my weapon at them and use deadly force? He's like, hang on a sec. Let's talk about all the things that were going on with the protest downtown and when we're trying to control the crowd that's down there and when things get a little out of hand and all of a sudden things get a little pushy and people start throwing things. Does that mean the police are then available to respond with deadly force? And he said that's the logic problem with what Channel 9 is trying to do. He agrees that Channel 9 is trying to set the table for a self-defense. But he said if you take more than 30 seconds of time thinking about it, logically it falls apart.
And the beat goes on. Without further ado, welcome home. He's here on Saturdays in the afternoon. Jimmy Sangenberg joins us. Did a great piece in The Hill. And I read it, and I thought, congratulations. It's titled Denver TV Anchor with Private Security ridicules people Worried About Violence. Jimmy, congratulations, man. Good morning.
Hey, thank you. It's actually The Federalist, Peter, but I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk about it.
I said The Hill because Billy and I got tangled up about The Hill this morning. The Federalist, with apologies.
You're good. Yeah. But, you know, I had a feeling that The Federalist would really like this piece because they're interested in covering the media and Antifa stories. And it fit right in.
I don't want to steal your thunder. You tell the story and how you say it and then how you see Channel 9. And by the way, don't know if you saw that the piece that the fellow did named Daniel Cole did a piece called Kyle Clark's Ridicule of the Right Could Drown Nine News, which I think was very powerfully done as well. So I guess I ask now, why do you think all of these things are happening? And tell it as you wish on what happened on that terrible Saturday.
Well, the thing from my standpoint is that here we have another incident at Civic Center Park in downtown Denver, Colorado. And in Civic Center Park in July, we all know what happened at the pro-police rally, Colorado. I was there. I was part of the band trying to play harmonica. Couldn't even be heard, let alone really play. The band leader's iPad was destroyed, by the way, by the rioters who attacked us. And so with that in mind, you have to recognize that things are going to get a little dicey from the standpoint of wanting security. What the police did on that Saturday, October 10th, I was not there for the Patriot Muster, but it seems like they did a superior job. They were allowed to do their job. They put up the barriers, all of those kinds of things, taking those necessary precautions. And I think the Patriot Muster gatherers, those who got together, really wanted to make a stand and say, look, Civic Center Park is not something you can just disrupt and destroy events at. We have to be able to have our say, too. And so then you have this event afterwards with the what seems to be murder of Lee Keltner. And it's by a Nine News security guard, unlicensed, one of what seems to be a number of Nine News security guards hired in the past few months who have not had licenses to be in downtown Denver. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. What really caught my attention with this Kyle Clark tweet from September 26th, Peter, was the fact that what he was saying was so baseless, so malicious towards not just talk radio. I mean, you know, we're here, we take the heat, we know what we're saying, but our listeners who are absolutely maligned because of legitimate concerns, they know, and I talk about this in my piece for the Federalist, they know what things were like on July 19th at the Pro Police Rally Colorado. They have seen what's happened in downtown Denver in terms of what our colleague Stephen Tubbs calls Denver in decay. And so there's ample reason for listeners to express concern about going downtown. And then Kyle Clark mocks them. And what struck me is that just a matter of days before Kyle's tweet mocking talk radio listeners and also saying that suggesting that things are hunky-dory downtown, Don Lemon over on CNN was having a wonderful commiseration with Chris Cuomo, and he was also doing the same thing. He said, and I quote, there are all these protesters out there. There's all this rioting and looting. It's scary. And then he went after conservative media and said after his sarcastic comments, quote, if you listen to conservative media, you would think that, you know, entire cities are just, you know, embroiled in fights and fires and whatever. And so what I realized when I saw that clip and kind of put it together with Kyle's just days later is that we have a mentality in the elite media where they are detached from reality and they are willing to mock everyday Americans that has now seeped down onto Denver, Colorado, and surely other local media outlets across the country, which is why I call Kyle Clark Denver's Don Lemon, Peter.
It's brilliant. I mean, I wasn't that smart to see it, but you saw it very clearly. Now, what are you watching Nine do now? What I've watched them do since the terrible day is to throw up all kinds of different ruses and throw up smoke screens. And what they did last night was the beginning of helping with a self-defense for Matthew Dolloff. Do you see that as well, Jim?
Well, it depends on how you interpret the interview last week, too, with Jeremiah Elliott.
Well, that was
and what Nine News did then.
Yeah, but then
that seemed to be sort of a step. But also, what they're doing too is you notice that they are bringing in reporters from outside of the Denver market to cover this story to try to say, oh, we're being fair, we're being balanced, we're distancing ourselves from what everybody else is from the criticisms. And I think that goes to the smoke and mirrors idea just as much as this story last night.
And we've been talking about it that these guys have the same law firms telling them what to do. They get paid by the same people. I said the example, you know, I work in a factory that has a boiler in it, and the boiler blows up and kills some guys. So the company that owns the factory I work in, go to another factory that they also own and bring in some guys to tell you, there was nothing wrong with the boiler. And that's what Nine has done. But as though this is not the same law firm, of course it is. Tegna's probably got 15 lawyers in there. I think they probably half the time, especially in the early on, were writing Kyle Clark's news for him to make sure that it was heavily crafted. But now at this point, last night, I don't know if you got the chance to watch it, and they started out with, they even called him Stanley Garnett. No one calls him Stanley Garnett. He's Stan Garnett. And we embarrassed that guy. He's off the story now. They brought this other guy in, and now he seems to be doing the story. But he trots out Mitch Morrissey to begin, what does a self-defense defense look like? And they keep bringing up what Alfred Hitchcock called the MacGuffin. And there was two guns. Cops took two guns. Everybody that does the story knows the other gun was belonged to the murder victim, Lee Keltner, Tex Keltner. It was his gun. And I think they're trying to pull up the beginnings of, well, did they both have guns? Did he pull a gun? Whatever happened. And what we now know, and there's some parts of this that are still missing. I don't know what we do. But, again, I like what you said. And I say this for the 19th time. In the murder or hit or assassination of Jack Kennedy, Malcolm X is alleged to have said the chickens come home to roost, which I've learned later comes from an 18th century British poet who said much the same thing. This is the Kyle Clark version of the news that has come home to roost. Jim, do you buy that?
Do I buy the story that News is trying to analysis?
The analysis. This is all coming
home.
Oh,
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that I wanted to highlight here and why I wanted to bring some national attention to this as well. And that is because, look, when you have people in the media who are constantly trying to diminish what's really going on, to diminish the reality of our inner cities, not just here in Denver, but across the country, in city after city after city, this is a phenomenon that is spreading to local communities now. And yes, absolutely, this is coming back to bite Kyle Clark and Nine News. And what I'm just so struck by is the fact that the media continues to persist in this kind of smoke and mirrors on what's happening. But also, if you think about the political agenda here, I think the point that was raised before you brought me on, Peter, about the police, could they use deadly force in this situation? Imagine the riots. If this happened with a police officer at a Black Lives Matter event, riot, whatever. If the police officer did this under those same circumstances, we would have riots in the street as a result of that, and nobody would tolerate it. And the same thing goes if a conservative had done that and you switch the roles, because it's wrong. You see it. It's blatant. And especially if you are Nine News and you have your star anchor. Kyle Clark is not just a random anchor. He's got his own show in a way that not many markets seem to have when it comes to local TV news, Peter. He's got his own show called Next with Kyle Clark. It's not talk radio for half an hour. It's Nine News, the leading news station in the Denver metro area when it comes to TV, and Kyle Clark is their star, and he says this kind of stuff. And then a Nine News-hired unlicensed security guard kills a man.
Jimmy Sangenberger is with us. He's on Saturday afternoons here on 710 KNUS. He's an up-and-comer. What strikes me is much of what you point out, had it gone the other way. But I have a friend who, if I said his name, people would know him, an old-time Nine guy, who told me, I see him generally in the gym once a week, and we have good conversations. And he said to me, he said 6 years ago, give or take, maybe five or seven, that Channel 9 made a decision to become the left-edgy, investigative, hard-hitting mommy news outlet. And that's when Cal got that gig. He fit that role. And he has the politics. You can, as you pointed out and others have pointed out, you can read him. But the interesting thing that he did, and I think you said it in your piece as well, then all the things, all the accusations that he's made, including attacks on Michelle Malkin and on Julie Hayden, he takes all of that stuff down. And now he himself, I'm told by very, very good sources, he has armed bodyguards with him. But I thought Denver wasn't a violent place. And for him to believe that there are Trump people going to come to Channel 9, they have papered up the windows at Channel 9. They've hired a bunch of off-duty guys with guns, cops with guns. I mean, isn't that somewhat disingenuous, James?
Yeah, I certainly think that he's proving the point that we have made about what's going on in terms of safety, broadly speaking. And also, I think one of the big reasons for me writing this piece was something that I quote in my article in The Federalist from last November when I had Kyle Clark on this show. And he said, quote, "I have absolutely no interest in defending the work of CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or anybody else, but I would love to talk to anybody who has concerns about our work." And when I recall that from my conversation with him on KNUS last November and put that together with Don Lemon's comments and that tweet, and I realized, look, it is reality that Nine News is essentially a CNN of Denver, and Kyle Clark has become indeed Denver's Don Lemon. And I hope that there is a lesson that they will take away from this, that you need to be smarter and better about how you're approaching these kinds of issues. But instead, it seems, judging from the reporting and how they've gone about it, that Nine News is actually doubling down.
Yeah, they're CYA. Well, they're worried. I mean, you would be worried. I would be worried. The Tigna people are worried. The law firms are worried. Management's worried. And Chuck Bonnewell and I were sitting at a paper, and we were talking about this. And Chuck said, everybody at Channel 9 has a job for at least the next 3 to 5 years. They're not going to fire anybody, because dismissing somebody, kicking somebody loose, is an admission of guilt. He said, these guys have better job security now than they probably ever had in their lives. Take the last comment, if you would.
Yeah, I'd love to quote my last paragraph just because it's one that I think sums it up pretty well, if I may. Again, in The Federalist, Denver TV anchor with private security ridicules people worried about violence. Quote, "Whether a local Clark or a national Lemon, corporate media must stop denying the truth. Their myopic and distorted view has been unveiled atop its elite and ivory tower. As reality eviscerates their self-serving narratives and exposes their platforms for the disservice to viewers that they really are, one thing is becoming increasingly clear. Their audiences will be better served by fear-mongering talk radio hosts." I hope they learn the right lessons from this and start reporting the news, not becoming the news, Peter Boyles. We'll see what happens, my friend.
I guarantee it won't happen. Jimmy's on every Saturday. We'll talk again. Great work on this one, Bubba. Really did. You made your bones. Thanks,
thank you. Man, I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right, we got some open lines. And then the one and only Michael Roberts is coming on. And this was great. I saw this morning. Well, wait a minute. How JonBenet Ramsey non-story turned into demonic blockbuster. And they have a cover of The Globe, which is one of the many tabs that came to Denver. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. Good morning, everyone. Cowboy Moving and Storage is the recommended mover. Owners and operators are Michael and Sherry Gail Folsom. Family owned and operated by the same family since 68. Cowboy provides residential commercial moves throughout Colorado. Can store your valuables, residential moves. Thousands and thousands of families have trusted Cowboy with the most valuable possessions. Now, if you are doing a remodel, you got to move the furniture a little bit. Let them come and get it, and they take it, and they store it, and they keep it safe, and they bring it back when you're ready. Moving grandma, in or out, your house, your office, whatever it needs, part of it, all of it, pack it, rack it. Let them come and give you an estimate. These are really hardworking, very trustworthy men. The guy, men and women of Cowboy. Cowboy is the recommended mover. They're my friends. Let them just give you an estimate. 303-789-2200. Cowboymoving.com on the web. They give a portion of everything to Freedom Service Dogs, which is great. Recommend a mover since 68. Moves to loads to holds to storage, 303-789-2200, 789-2200 today.
Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
House of New Orleans. There is a house. 710 KNUS, thanks for being here. The Rising Sun. It's a woman's song. It's not a man's song. It's a woman's song. Talking about music earlier. 710 KNUS, going back to wear that ball and chain. Wednesday morning, 21 October, and it's going to be 73, and it kind of steps down from there. Fall savings event going on now at Urban Lights. Fall is the time to get down to Colorado's largest lighting showroom and brighten your space. 40% off all lighting this weekend. They have over 20,000 square feet full of beautiful lighting displays. You got to check it out. The place is like an art gallery. They've been doing this now for 40 years. Take advantage of the experts and help you plan the perfect design for your home. They got the all-time great things, the ceiling fans, overhead fans, lowest prices guaranteed. This is one of the coolest things ever. The brand name ceiling fans like Minka Air and Kichler and unbelievable deals during the fall savings event. Check them at UrbanLightsDenver.com. UrbanLightsDenver.com, 7 days a week. Take it from me, they're the best. You can find them south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi. And park and walk. And it's just an amazing place, and it's an experience, and everybody's COVID-ed up. And do this for yourself. Fall savings event right now, Urban Lights, the best in the West. 710 KNUS, Michael's ready. Without further ado, I read this morning, and I said, I wonder if he'll do the show. He really is, ladies and gentlemen. He is the print reporter of record from Westward. Michael Roberts joins us. Hey, man, thanks for doing this. Good morning and welcome back.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Well, I read Westward either first or second every morning, and I come across, and there's this picture of the cover of the Globe, and it says how JonBenet Ramsey non-story turned into demonic blockbuster. Okay. What happened?
Well, like most folks, you know, I go to the supermarket and see these screaming tabloid headlines. And this time I thought, you know, I'd like to find out what's behind the headline here. Is there anything to it whatsoever? So as you say, the headline on the Globe, and this is a cover story of the Globe tabloid, you know, it talks about, you know, demon right on JonBenet's grave and, you know, makes it pretty explicit or seem pretty explicit that, you know, some kind of horrible devil-worshipping ritual took place on JonBenet Ramsey's grave in Georgia. And so you read the story, and there are a number of red flags right away. For one thing, the story just came out, and yet the incident took place on April 27th. So it was such a shocking incident. Why are we only hearing about it months later? Secondly, there is no specific reference to police investigation. There's a veiled reference to concerns from investigators, but you know, nothing about any kind of police report. And then you have mixed messages from a representative of the church with him at one point saying, oh, it seems sort of occultish, but on the other hand saying it might just be kids who are bored. And so I reached out to this guy, and he did indeed speak to a Globe reporter, although he thought that the person was actually from the National Enquirer, not the Globe. And he said, you know, I told him it was, you know, no big deal. It was just some pine needles that somebody, you know, set on fire on the headstone. And it was unusual. We'd never had anything happen like that before. But nothing has happened since, and we didn't even bother to report it to the police. I tried to tell him it was no big deal, and it was no big deal enough to be on the headline of a tabloid that's in every grocery store in America.
And, you know, Mike Roberts, Peter Boyles, and from Westward's piece, and you can read it on their website, but it just jumped off the page, and then it dawned on me, and I'm thanking you for coming on, as always, JonBenet sells. I mean,
JonBenet absolutely sells, yeah. And it's astonishing that it's still happening, yeah. So many years later. There was a big burst of activity in 2016 around the time of the 20th year since her murder, and yet 4 years later, you know, she is still, you know, enough of a draw that they're putting her photo on the cover of that, yeah, magazine. It's really amazing how this case has continued to linger in the public's imagination.
Well, one of the things, when a guy said he thought it was the Enquirer, I think there's a parent that owns all of those tabs, and they're in Florida. And I remember Miss Calhoun and I were working together when all this was going on, and we became like K JonBenet, and the Rocky Mountain News became the Ramsey Mountain News. And yesterday here, we had Don Reggae on, who was I was more his partner, and we were building parody tunes on everybody. And then, I mean, this really was and I'm trying to write a little bit, but there was nothing quite like this story of the murder of this little girl. And all the elements and the tabs, I mean, I remember the tabs basically parachuting, and they had something called checkbook journalism. Michael, talk about checkbook journalism.
Oh, it's absolutely a real thing. And in a lot of ways, the JonBenet Ramsey case took checkbook journalism to the next level. It wasn't like it hadn't existed before, but it became absolutely rife during that period of time. Basically, it's news organizations that instead of just interviewing somebody in order to get a story or you know, pounding the pavement to get a story, they actually pay individuals for exclusive access to material. And you know, during the period of time in the immediate wake of her killing on Christmas Day in 1996, there were some legitimate scoops out there that these tabloids could potentially have been paying for. You know, now, so many years later, as indicated by this story, the scoops are few and far between, and so they're having to, exaggerate them into making them seem like they're a big deal. But it's still worth their while because people are still fascinated by JonBenet Ramsey.
When they all got here, and of course we were back at the time, I was doing mornings on KHOW, and we were kind of like JonBenet Central. And people would pass through. Somehow they would always manage to get a hold of us or find us. And I had some great experiences. But a lot of these guys, there's a place in London called Fleet Street. And I mean, these were the tabs. I mean, these were the real tabs, and they're Australians and Irishmen and Cockneys, and they were the Fleet Street journalists, and they would do anything because they're selling papers. And when they got here, and I ended up getting subpoenaed on a story, and because I had seen a copy of a ransom note, and it's a long way around the barn, but it ends up in Jefferson County Court, and I remember Ms. Calhoun and I were very close going through that, and you were going through it. But they were buying stories is what they did. They came in, they bought stories. And there's a thing I'm trying to write now, but Carol McKinley was with Fox and working with us. And you remember Linda Hoffman Pugh? Remember her? She was the Ramsey housekeeper. And when they went to her, because Patsy blamed her. Patsy had a series of people she blamed. And they went out to her house, and she opened the door. She was wearing Patsy's slippers. I remember that really well. So Carol and I were going to go see them. And they lived in a trailer. She had a boyfriend, and there was two new pickup trucks sitting outside. We knew they'd sold their story. There's this one cool pickup truck, and I remember saying to Skins, I said, "Well, that game's over." And they were just bought up stories, and it was just an amazing. I mean, the tragedy was, of course, this little girl, and I mean, I believe the story. I believe it's been solved. I believe the crime's been solved, but you know, it's one of those moments. But what a time that was. What you remember when the Denver Post took the tabloid and put it on their cover and they showed the little girl's hand? Remember all that stuff? That was crazy.
Oh, there are so many astonishing things about that story. And there have been multiple books written about it, but somehow I don't think it's been fully captured yet. I mean, just the idea of Santa Claus being accused of this crime.
No, well, he confirmed.
It goes beyond jaw-dropping at a certain point. Yeah. And as you say, people may believe, what they believe about who actually did it, but nobody has been punished for this crime. You have to make sure you remember this is a little girl who was brutally murdered, a 6-year-old girl, and this entire mythology has sprung up around her and shows no sign of going away.
Absolutely. Michael Roberts, Peter Boyles, he has a great piece on JonBenet Ramsey. Non-story turned to the demonic blockbuster, but the point I think it makes is JonBenet sells. And I remember we'd go get the tabs. We're oftentimes, we're a source. We knew the source, and they were buying. I can tell one story. This is a true story. I was, and I've never told anyone, and I never will tell anyone who took me and showed me that note. and I was taken to breakfast, and I was shown a copy of the ransom note, like 7 days, maybe 8 days after the murder. Not the original note, but a copy of it. And for real. And so I mentioned it on the radio show. We're doing mornings on KHOW, and I mentioned it. So the next day I get off, and the old, you know, Clear Channel was a beautiful place, and I got a call, and they said, come up to the front. Somebody here wants to see you. I meet this guy, no names. He's from the Tabs. And he said, can I take you to dinner tonight? Michael, I swear. And we went to, what was that place in Cherry Creek? I only had one name, the guy's name, and I wish to represent the guy. And so I took my ex-wife, and she's my witness. And we're having dinner. And the guy points to my class ring, and he says to Kathleen, he said, do you like diamonds? And I'm Michael, I swear. And he said, Michael, he said, I don't think I've ever told a story public. It's, you know, statute of limitations. So it's 24 years. He pointed to my ring and he said, I'll give her a diamond this big if you get me that ransom note. True.
Wow.
True story.
I mean, there's something weirdly romantic about that kind of Fleet Street journalist that you're talking about.
Great.
The swashbuckling, completely amoral, willing to do anything, will sell his own mother up the river for a story. You know, the characters are incredible.
Well,
you know, they may not be you know, great examples of humanity, but they're certainly interesting.
This guy said to me, he said, you're looking at the guy, mate. He called me mate. He said that bought OJ's, come on, Peter, but her dad, who bought the diary. And he said, I'm the guy
goodness.
He said, I bought Nicole Brown Simpson's diary from her father for like $100,000. And I'm looking at this guy. Oh, they had stories because they're, you know, they did the world. They did Princess Diana stories. They had, and I said, you know, what they must have taken to the grave with them. My God. Those guys ended up, some of those guys ended up in court. I got pulled into that. And the only guy who ever went to jail was Fleet White, if you remember that. They jailed Fleet White. And I'm out in Jefferson County, final story, and I'm out in Jefferson County. They're going to threaten to throw me in jail because I wouldn't say who showed me the note. I'm going, how did I get into this? And the guy who had showed me the note was sitting in the back of the courtroom on my grandson's forehead. He was in the back watching. And I never ratted anybody out. And I said, I got a press shield here. I can, you know, say this, which later comes back to haunt me. But, I mean, that's a true story. So Fleet ends up in jail. But they wanted to know how that note got out because, remember, those guys got their hands on it. They got their hands on it somehow, not through me. But remember, they went up to that, the guy who was the handwriting expert, and they walk up to try and sell a story to this guy. And he was a cop, and he turned them in. And they all ended up in jail. That was just a great time. And if it wasn't the little girl's murder, which makes it so horrible, that was a hell of a time. I remember.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, truth is stranger than fiction, definitely. That this whole thing could not have been invented. It went in so many crazy directions.
Yeah. And how many people we met. And the people that we met that had been involved in other stuff. And there were guys. Remember the guy that was taking? He was drove dead bodies around. And he was taking pictures of people and putting names on their bodies. Remember that guy? Remember that guy? And he came up to the radio station, and they called, and the cops said, "Keep him there. We're coming to get him. We're doing a radio show because we're coming up on this." And I'm trying to remember all this stuff, but he called himself J.T. Colfax. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And I remember him well.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think Miss Calhoun, I think he bounced off of you guys too. And he's a trouble.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, didn't he set some mail on fire and flight it through the slot of the Ramsey home?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he was taking pictures of dead people. And I'm thinking, he came into the studio. It was on the run. And the Denver PD called and said, keep them there. We're coming for them. And there was, like, McKinley and I, Carol McKinley actually did some great work. We went on the road together a lot. And yesterday we had Don Reggae on. We were talking about how lunatic that was. And I took the radio show and I'm going into the belly of the beast. We went to Boulder and made them all mad. And what a time. God, what a great moment. So other than that little girl's murder, and she doesn't go, it's 24 years, Michael, now, 24 years?
Yeah, it's almost 24. It's going to be 24 on Christmas.
Think about that. We need to do a bunch of shows. We get close to that. I think the thing's been solved, but, you know, not that anybody ever got away, but what a story. And Santa Claus McReynolds. Jacques the dog. God, there was everybody, and everybody seemed to want to be in on the story. Did you ever get that sense on stories before that everybody wanted to be part of it?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that differentiated this story from a lot of the other huge stories, like OJ, for example, is until her death, nobody really knew across the country who JonBenet Ramsey was. It wasn't like it involved a celebrity. It just happened to be that this beautiful little girl had all kinds of footage of her at beauty pageants.
Oh, yeah.
And so there were lots of glamour shots.
Oh, yeah.
And she became a star after her death.
Yes. And Kaplis had a great theory that the mom kept feeding the videos. Ooh.
They had to come from somewhere. I don't know where they came from, but they
absolutely
certainly were prevalent.
Yeah. And there seemed to be one after another. I want to be a cowboy hero or a cowgirl hero. And Danny always thought that she was feeding those vids into the maw. Man. Anyhow, great story this morning. How JonBenet Ramsey non-story turned into demonic blockbuster. Read it with Mike Roberts on Westward this morning. We need to sit down because I'm really seriously trying to write all this stuff and, you know, re-remember it. And I got to talk to, you know, all the people, yourself, and got to get a hold of Miss Calhoun and everybody and talk about it. But, man, it's like that was a ride. And what started out, and we never thought, you know, who would have known, but nobody would ever know, but it just took on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
Movies been made, documentary films and books and, careers.
And lawsuits aplenty.
Oh, boy. You know, in this shooting now that's taken place, and you've covered some of that downtown, how many lawsuits you think are going to come out of that?
I think we're just at the beginning of this. That's a story that's going to be keeping going for quite some time as well.
You're the best of Patty. Thank you, Michael, for doing the show. Be safe. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Peter. You too.
Michael Bye-bye. Roberts. All right. How much of your budget goes toward bills and talking credit cards, car payments, even your mortgage? And you get a feeling you pay. Wasn't that great? I mean, it was just like tripped on memory lane. With Don Reagan and Miss Chrissy on yesterday. That was all Ramsey stuff, too. You pay those bills month after month without ever thinking about how much you're spending on interest. Don't do that. Mortgage rates are still at record lows, and you can finance and refinance any interest debt into your mortgage at a much lower rate. Please pick up the phone. Call the pros, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. They'll answer the phone. Let them go to work for you. They do all the heavy lifting. You lower all your interest rates. You make out. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net. They did the job for me. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. The Peter Boyle Show.
Coming up on time, everyone, 8:52, 7 before the hour. What a morning. Thanks, Billy. Fired everybody up. The Billy Thorpe Fan Clubs, 710 KNUS. Sweet Melissa, Crossroads. The groundbreaking advanced FUE treatment from Advanced Hair Restoration, finally here in Denver. I know this is a very difficult, sensitive moment. You're losing your hair. And we were there, met Dr. Tanya Pauls and the woman Farah, who was then the office people. It's all women, and they're just great. And they address your receding hairline, your bald spots, and your thinning hair. Take it from me. Call them. 720-459-HAIR. You can play one game or another. You can fix it, or you can stand there and watch it happen. This is 100% guaranteed. There's nothing phony. It's advanced FUE treatment. Takes one day. It's pain-free. Your new hair starts growing the very next day. I met with the doctors. I mean, they're just the best. Call them. 720-459-HAIR. 720-459-HAIR. One-day treatment. Life-changing results. It's guaranteed. I know it's iffy, but I'm telling you, these guys are solid and they do it right. Change your life. AdvancedHair.com, AdvancedHair.com. Stefan, it's this afternoon. I'm back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Thanks, Billy Thorpe. Take care, everybody. Thank you.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet.